Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we are dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with a new member of the team, Kara. Hi, Kara, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to be on.
So Kara is going to join us for at least a few months, and then we're going to see how it goes from there. Kara is bringing a new perspective to the podcast because she is a mom. So we're going to talk about that today. And you can hear a little Cleo in the background.
I think what's really interesting about this podcast is, you know, you get so many different eco tips, but it'll be cool to get a perspective of, you know, how do you remain eco when you have kids? It's not always easy because there's a lot of products out there that are meant, you know, to make life easier, and they're not always eco-friendly, as you might know. So I think it'll be fun to chat about ways to, you know, keep that going once you have kids in your life.
I imagine that convenience becomes a huge factor for you.
Well, I mean, I think for most parents it does, but when you have the mindset of trying to minimize waste, then you seek out alternatives, and there's quite a few really good, useful alternatives that exist on the market and that you can get secondhand for your kids. So we'll chat about that today.
The first thing that comes to my mind is diapers.
Oh, for sure.
There are so many diapers in landfill.
So I was doing some research before I had my daughter, and to me, diapers, it was like one of the scariest things. You know, you think of how many diapers a kid goes through in a day and like the lifespan of how long they're in diapers for. And it's actually about like 6,000 diapers.
That's a lot of diapers.
Which is crazy to me. Yeah. And then the other thing that I found really kind of scary was not only do you have that many diapers, but diapers, like the disposable kind, take forever to decompose. Like, they don't really know how long it actually takes for a diaper to decompose because they haven't been around for that long. But all the diapers basically that have been used are still in our landfills because they just take too long to decompose. It takes like 500 years is the best guess they have out there.
And that is just an estimate.
Yeah.
And they're being pumped out more and more and more every single day. Like there's, and it seems to me like it, I mean, it might seem like forever to a parent, but it seems to me like it's a fairly short period of time that you actually go through that phase. So I imagine that if you're using reusable diapers, you can probably even, well, let's talk about that first. You can get reusable diapers. Is that what you use?
Yes. So there's different kinds of reusable diapers, but most of what people are familiar with, it's a cloth diaper. And how it kind of looks is that you have a cloth part that kind of surrounds like the where the baby, you know, does their business. And then you have a plastic, or not a plastic, but they're different materials, like a cover that you can put on it. There's some plastic ones, there's like wool, like there's different types that you can get. And then that kind of keeps all the moisture within the cloth, so you don't have leaks or anything like that. And then you just reuse the, like you have cloth, like the cloth inserts that you just clean and wash more frequently. And that's kind of what replaces the disposable version. So they're actually really great. And they're, you know, a lot of people, I think, have misconceptions of what it's like to use reusable diapers. And I think some people think it's hard and, you know, it takes a lot of time to clean them and all that stuff. But it's actually not that at all. We've been using them for a few months. And I would never go back to a disposable diaper. Like, it's just so, it's not hard at all.
I apparently was in cloth diapers as a child, too. So, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Apparently, me and my sisters, we were all in cloth diapers.
That's awesome.
I think my mom just said that, you know, she had to do laundry anyway, what was a little bit more, right? So.
Yeah. So, basically, I mean, it depends how many you have, the amount of laundry you'll do. But if you have enough for, let's say, 2 or 3 days, then you only have to do an extra load every 2 or 3 days, which is great. So, it's not that much work. And the other thing is, in the long run, it actually saves you like thousands of dollars. It's a lot less expensive than just buying the disposable kind. So like you're literally throwing your money away when you're doing the disposable kind.
But yeah, I imagine it might be a little more upfront, but then long term, it would definitely be cheaper because you only have to do it once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you kind of, you get your diapers at the beginning, and then and then you don't have to buy any more, right? So that's the beauty of it. Whereas if you have disposable diapers, then you just have to go every, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks and buy a giant box of diapers. So that's great. And then the fun thing about the inserts that you put in the diaper is that once the baby's grown up, either you pass the diapers along to someone else who's having a baby, or you can use them for something else.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier, and how like they're really using them for a fairly short period of time. So I imagine that you can get used ones or pass them on to someone else.
For sure. There's a lot of moms out there who go on Kijiji or other websites like that and try and sell their diapers after, so you can actually buy them used, which is great. And like I said, like passing them along to someone else, if you know, like your friend or your sister or someone else is having a baby, it's great to try and get them on the bandwagon. You can try and see if they want them, or you can sell them yourself after. But since they're like, you know, they're wipes in a way, like they're kind of like a wipe, you can use them around the house, you know, clean your car. You can use them to any kind of cleaning surfaces. It's great because they're extra absorbent. So it's very practical that way.
So I guess you could just reuse them yourself in other ways too.
For sure. For sure. So I think to me, that's the biggest like eco thing you can do as a new parent is really the diapers. I think that's where you want to go. And I guess the way it works is, you know, you just change it like a normal diaper. And then if you're on the go or something, you have them in a bag. There's like wet bags, they're called. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're kind of a lined bag and you just put the diaper in it. And then when you're on the go, instead of throwing out your disposable diaper in the trash, you just take your reusable diaper and put it in the wet bag and take it with you, which is great.
Yeah.
And just put in the wash when you get home.
Well, there you go. I've also heard of diaper services. So if you don't want to have to wash your own diapers, there are apparently companies that do a swap. So they'll come pick up your dirty diapers and drop off clean ones. And then, And then when you are done, you don't have to deal with the diapers because the company just takes them back.
It's super easy. And I think I've looked into this too. We decided to just do it ourselves. But yeah, I mean, it's even easier if you get a service, and it's actually not that expensive. Like when I was looking at the companies, a lot of them were only about like $20 a week. I mean, it goes up from there.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It was actually fairly reasonable.
Yeah. And when you factor in the cost of buying disposables, it's not that far off.
No, so it's a good option.
It's a good alternative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about like wipes?
So it's so funny. We use reusable wipes. And before I had the baby, when I was 9 months pregnant, I'm like, what are we going to do for the wipes? And I had just gotten like a bunch of secondhand baby stuff from some friends and family. And one of the boxes had some old baby sheets that didn't fit on the bed that we had. So I actually ripped up those baby sheets and made myself some reusable wipes because they were old and they weren't going to work for us. So I decided, I was like, oh, I'm going to use this material and make wipes. And now I have a bunch of little squares that are ripped up, and I just sewed the outside so they wouldn't kind of fringe or anything like that. And that's kind of what we've been using for the most part. But they do make reusable wipes if you wanted some. But you can just use a bunch of materials that you have at home, and it doesn't really matter what material it is as long as it is a little bit absorbent. You can take in some water. It's a good alternative.
So is that just flannel?
I think, yeah, like flannel, cotton's great too. And what I do is the changing area that I change my baby, what I do is I have a little bowl of water and sometimes I put like just a bit of baby soap in it. Instead of having, you know, when you get the disposable kind, they usually are wet, right? So they have some sort of, I don't know what exactly is on the wipe, to be honest, but you know, when you think about it, it's a little bit scary, whatever they put on them. But you take like water and baby soap, and that's what I put in the bowl, and that's what we use.
Okay, there you go.
It just works just as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just put it in the bale that I have all the dirty diapers, and I wash them all at once.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I use flannel as like our tissues rather than like Kleenex.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all I did is I just chopped a flannel into squares and serged the edges, and we use those. So, yeah, kind of similar.
I think it would be you could probably use the same.
The exact same
thing. They probably work the exact same way.
Yeah. So other than diapers, what else would you say is a big kicker when it comes to waste with babies?
Yeah, I think just knowing that they grow so fast, like clothing can be another big one. Like it's mind-boggling to me. So like as she grows, it's just you realize, oh my gosh, she's only going to wear this outfit for like a handful of times before she's grown out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So baby clothes is a big one. So great ways to reduce waste that way. It's like, avoid buying new. You really don't need to. There's so many baby clothes out there, and people are just dying to get rid of this stuff. Like, if they've had children and they're grown, like, ask your friends and family, or most of the times, maybe they'll even want to get rid of them and just give them to you, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're someone who, you know, maybe don't have that many big network around you, and you don't have friends or family who've had kids before, you're like the first one, then secondhand shops are a good way to get a bunch of baby clothes as well. There's also, I've heard of, like, subscription-based systems where, like, they'll send you stuff every month and just recycle them with other parents. So that could be maybe another option.
Yeah. So here in Edmonton, yeah, Blenders does that. You can just let them know what size of clothing you want, and then you get a subscription box that comes to you, and they take back whatever you don't want and then bring you another box.
Yeah, like, that's a great option. Because, like, you don't, like, what's the point of buying something if, you know, you're spending a lot of money, and then literally the kid will only wear it, like, maybe 5 times, and it's done. Like, to me, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And the amount of money that you must spend on clothing if you bought everything new. Holy moly.
Oh, it would be a lot of money.
I can't even imagine. Money.
Like, it's different, you know, if you have maybe an older kid and they've kind of stopped growing, but at this point, if they're just little, then why not, you know? And at the end of the day, maybe one day they'll be like, yeah, I was an eco baby, you know, and be proud of that.
And the baby doesn't care. The baby's not like, mean this isn't Gap?
Like, no, and I don't the even... thing too is, like, babies look cute and everything. And then another factor to maybe to consider is, you know, if you're going to go to the secondhand shop or something to get baby clothes, get gender neutral colors. Like, if you're going to have maybe more than one kid, you can reuse it after.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah. So even with the diapers that we got, like the shells that we picked out, like the outer cover, mm-hmm, I just made sure to pick gender neutral colors just in case, you know, maybe we won't do flowers. Maybe we'll do something that's like blue or green or yellow or whatever. And that'll be, we can pass it on that way.
That's fair. Cause yeah, especially if you're planning on having more than one, there's no way to know what's coming next. So you don't.
No.
I mean, not that it's a problem to have your boy in pink or anything, but I know that it can be. I've heard that parents can often get frustrated if they go out and their little boy is getting called a girl all the time or something. I don't know if that's an issue, but.
Yeah, well, even, you know, I have a daughter, and like, she'll wear anything that's not pink, and people just assume, right? So, I mean, it is what it is, but I think if you want to play it safe, and even if you're going to like give your baby clothes to someone else after, there's better chance of them using it if it's gender neutral colors, because you don't know what kid they're going to get either, right?
Right.
So I just think that that's a way to try
to play it safe.
Yeah, yeah. Get the most use out of the clothes.
Yeah. I had a friend who said that, like, her, when she had her baby, she had her dressed all in pink and had like a bow, one of those little bow bands on her head, and people still called her a boy. So I guess it doesn't really matter. It won't make a difference.
It's so funny. And before, it's so funny because I was, before I had Cleo, I was looking at just a like some sort of present for a colleague who was having a baby. And I was doing research on baby clothes, and the whole gendered color thing is such a recent phenomenon, which is kind of interesting because it used to be
babies
would wear white.
Actually, yeah. At one point, pink was boys and blue was girls, and babies would wear white.
Yeah, things have changed. Yeah, or for like a long time, or just like these white kind of like things that look like dresses. So every baby looked the same, and you wouldn't really associate a gender with a baby. Like, the whole concept of like putting a sex on the baby is a very new phenomenon, apparently, which is interesting because now when you go to a store, it's very much, you know, pink and purple on one side and blue and green on the other.
I think that actually historically had to do with the fact that they lost so many babies, and so they didn't name them. They were just baby until they were a certain age, and it was like safe to assume they were going to actually make it. Apparently a lot of it, yeah, apparently that was a thing. So it's a sad topic, but yeah, I think that may have be part of why.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's not the rates of survival, I guess, are much higher now.
Much higher, which is so good. Like, yeah, so gender neutral, get your clothes secondhand because, and they're going to be so lightly worn. So lightly worn. Even if they are secondhand. What about toys? I bet you get lots of toys secondhand as well.
Yes. So I think to me, like, again, like, you can get a lot from friends and family who've already had kids. And the amount of, oh my gosh, it's crazy the amount of toys some kids have, right? So parents are just happy to to donate things and get rid of them if the kids don't use it anymore. So that's a good way to go about it. But it's funny because we take stroller rides around the neighborhood, and on trash day, a bunch of people just get rid of perfectly good toys. Like, they put them next to the garbage, so it's not actually in the garbage. But there's great toys out there. Like, she got a little, one of those little cars that you can kind of sit in and, like,
yeah,
use your feet to pedal. We found one of those that was perfectly fine. So we're just going to wash it up, and then she'll be able to use it when she's a bit older. But, you know, for me, it was like, I'm saving this thing from the landfill, and it will get a second life, and then I'll pass it on to another kid. So it's kind of fun that way, too. So that's another way, like, you know, getting secondhand friends and family or finding them. You could always do, like, toy swaps. If you have other friends who have kids, too, you can kind of bring all the toys that the kid's not playing with, and then the kids can kind of pick and choose from their other friends' piles. That could be really fun for the kids. And when you're thinking of, like, the toys that you're bringing into your home, you know, maybe avoid ones that are battery operated, so you don't have to, you know, use batteries and throw those out, or make sure to use reusable batteries if you can go that route.
I feel like most parents would love to have zero battery operated toys in their life.
Yeah.
But of course, the aunts and uncles feel like it's their responsibility to give the children noisy light up toys.
Oh my gosh. I really hope we don't get a bunch of those as she gets older, because that stuff scares me. It's just so noisy. And you're right. Like, that, they're more likely to break. Like, you think of all the wiring and stuff in those toys. And it's just, and how do you get rid of that after? Like, it's not easy to.
You can't fix them.
Like, and you can't really recycle a lot of that stuff.
No.
They're not great toys to have around, I think.
Do you think you will kind of veer towards more natural material toys, wooden toys, etc.?
I think so. I think those are, it's not only a question of, you know, what to do after with toys after, but when you think of, like, the chemicals and the paints and all that stuff on toys. Well, you can kind of hear in the background. Maybe she's disagreeing with me. I don't know.
She's like, no, Mom, I want plastic.
But that's something to consider as well, right? We don't really know what's in all the toys. And, you know, a lot of them are made overseas. And we don't, that's another factor. Not only the actual physical toys and the disposal of those, but, like, do you really want your kid to lick that thing or, you know, put it in their mouth?
And they do. They put everything in their mouth.
Oh, for sure.
Is she at that stage yet? Everything goes in the mouth?
No, she's a bit young, but I think pretty soon we'll be getting there, for sure. Another alternative, too, like a lot of... Yeah. Another thing, too, is books, right? Like, a lot of parents, like, go out and buy new books, but you can get a bunch of books secondhand or at the library. Do you guys have little, like...
Like the free libraries?
Yeah.
Like, in front of people's houses? Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, that is one thing that I find in those kind of little free libraries in front of people's houses all the time is kids' books.
It's great. Yeah. So you just, you know, you go for a walk and a kid can go and pick out the books they want to read. And then when they're done, they don't have to clutter your house. You can just put them back or put them in a different box and mix them up that way.
Yeah. And libraries just in general, and borrowing, swapping with your other parent friends and that sort of thing. You don't necessarily need to accumulate your own stuff, right? Especially with books.
No.
Although.
And it just... It would just never end this way.
They do tend to have favorites. Like, my nephew is really obsessed with a Very Hungry Caterpillar. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Is that what the book's called? The Very Hungry Caterpillar?
I don't know. I've never heard of that one. It sounds familiar, though.
It was a book when I was a kid, and he's got it now. So I figured it was just, like, one of those staples that every household has. But he read it to me. I think he mostly just has it memorized. But he was like, no! Aunt Biz, hang on a second. I have to go get my book. And then I had, like, he was like, you are sitting here and listening to me read this book. So that one might be a keeper.
Well, it's funny because my mom, she works at a school, and the school's library was actually getting rid of a bunch of their books. So she grabbed a bunch for us. And they're the same kind of books that, you know, we read as kids, like you were saying, like, a lot of the stuff doesn't really change. It's the same, you know, same classics. So yeah, it's great to reuse the books and then give them to someone else after as well.
For sure. What about food? You find baby jars, I guess, are not really... What is your opinion on that?
Well, so we're at the point right now where we're still just feeding her milk. So obviously there's less waste if you breastfeed your baby instead of buying formula. But that's not a given for everyone. And I found that out. I was hoping to breastfeed more, but I have to also supplement with formula just because it's not working out for me. That's just how it is for a lot of women, actually. Later on, when you start feeding baby food, like those jars, like that's just, there's so much, there's a lot of plastic and just think of the amount of jars that would be wasted if you just keep buying baby food from the store. So I'm planning to just make our own, and you just take your fruits and veggies and you make your own, right? Like it's not overly complicated from what I can tell. And you just, you know, cook it, grind it up, and bam, there's the baby food.
Yeah. And I realize that baby food jars are very reusable, but at some point you're going to have more than you could ever reuse.
Oh, like, for sure.
Yeah, they will.
After maybe like a few days.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, people say, but they're jars, you can reuse them. It's like, well, yes, but how many do you actually need? You can only you can only organize so much craft stuff with baby jars, right? Like at some point, it's going to get out of hand. So you're going to end up with waste anyway.
Yeah. And even when you're thinking of, you know, younger babies with the formula, like, because we have to use some, I look at the packaging also of what it comes in. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, don't take the single use. There's some that come in individual sized bottles. Well, maybe take the powder instead, because that's better than the ones that are liquid and already made. And, you know, think of all the little bottles that, but I don't know to what extent those can be recycled.
It's
not great.
Come to my attention how much we are sold water. Like,
yeah,
soda, juice, cleaner, like it's 95% water. Why can't we just buy the concentrated versions and reduce all the packaging and the shipping and save ourselves all that hassle by just getting concentrates?
Oh, for sure.
And powders, yeah, so, right? Like it's bonkers.
Yeah, so the baby powder is a good option, and then even the container that the baby powder comes in. Like a lot of it, some of them are plastic containers, but some of them are kind of like these cans that those are much more, you know, you can recycle the plastic container, but you can also recycle the can. I think the can is better off because I think you can do a lot more with just the material that it's made of. Mm-hmm. Those are more easily recyclable. Or you can use them, you know, to store things, and you could put like your pens or like toys. Like they're just, the size of the can is actually a pretty cool size that you can use them for things around the house. So that's what I have a pile of cans now in my kitchen because I'm trying to find a way to reuse them since we're stuck buying formula. So I'm going to reuse them to put plants in and like kids' toys and pens and like all that kind of stuff. If we have it around the house, I think it'll be just a practical use to make it last longer.
Yeah, if you have uses for those things, that's great. But yeah, you're probably at that point where you're like, yeah, I'm running out of reasons to use these.
But I think, yeah, the homemade baby food is a good option when the kids are a bit older. And if you can breastfeed, that's great. But that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of moms will be like, if you can't do it, just fed is fed. And that's good, too.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, there's balance, right? I know that being a mom is a lot of work. And so sometimes you have to choose that convenience over the most eco-friendly option because you have to just be kind to yourself as well. So is this your first baby?
Yeah. So it's our first one and she's 3 months right now. But she, yeah. So I'm just learning how to adopt a green lifestyle with a baby, which, you know, my parents, I don't know about you growing up. It sounds like you were on cloth diapers. So I think you had a different upbringing, but you know, my mom used the disposables and I remember the little baby food in the packages and stuff like that. So it's hard to, you know, if you've only been raised on one thing and try to learn something else, it's not always easy and you're trying to find the solutions, right?
Yeah, I was the youngest, so I didn't really get to see a lot of the baby stuff myself. I mean, I did, I just don't remember it. So I feel like we were jars of baby food people, though. It can't be that hard to make baby food, isn't it? Just like cooked, mashed up vegetables?
That's the sense I get. My sister-in-law, so she has two kids, and that's what she does. She makes her own, you know, she'll cook her own veggies. Like, let's say she's making dinner for herself. She'll just take some of the veggies that are on the side and put them in some sort of food processor, and then they're kind of mushy, and she can use that. And it's great because you actually know what goes into your baby's food, right? Which is an added bonus.
Does she just take whatever they're eating, throw it in a blender, and feed the baby as well?
I think for a lot of the meals, that's what she'll do. But then maybe she'll do like extra fruits and extra veggies during the day that are just for the baby, and process, like grind them up and put them and feed them to her baby. So I think that's a great option too.
Oh, that's awesome. Like one extra little step to include your baby in the same food that you're eating. That's kind of nice. Yeah. I know lots of people are like, ew, baby food. I'm like, it's just vegetables. Oh,
she just sneezed.
Oh my goodness. Anything else that really stands out to you as big eco-mom tips?
I think the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that there's some things that maybe you don't want to skimp out. So, like, I was thinking of something that makes me a bit nervous is, like, the car seat. Because you don't necessarily know if you're getting secondhand, like, has that car seat been in an accident? Because then it's lost its like structural integrity maybe, or things like that. So that's just something to, I don't know if I would go down that route. But a lot of things that you can actually get, you know, if you're thinking of the nursery that you're creating for the baby, or your children's room, like, how do you want to decorate it? Do you want to make sure that the decor will last for many years to come? Like, maybe don't make it so childish, or like, what kind of prints you want to use? Maybe you don't use the super baby prints because you want it to last for longer, right?
Yeah.
Or the paint colors even.
Yeah, I know that some people get really involved in the nurseries. I imagine they get a lot of new coordinating stuff that if you can keep it kind of neutral and at least to an age where they can sort of, their personality comes out and you can tailor it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, make it last as long as it can without having to change the decor every 2 to 3 years, right?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, kids change so quickly. So it's a matter of, well, maybe you pick some colors or a theme that will last longer. Or maybe you don't even have that much of a childish kids theme. Like for ours, what we did is the walls are actually just gray.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took some old frames that we had in the basement that we weren't using, and I just did some simple like watercolors of moons. So it's gender neutral, just like blue moons. That's not really baby specific. It could last for years. And if it's not, we just switch the paper and that's it, right? Like, decor is, it doesn't have to be overly complicated if you want to try and make it as eco-friendly as possible. Like, you don't have to go crazy with it.
But still look nice.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
There are ways.
For sure.
Yep.
There are definitely ways.
There are ways.
And you can, I know we got our crib secondhand from my sister-in-law, like she wasn't using it anymore. So that was great. And I think there's a lot of, you know, if you're thinking of high chairs or different things like that, like a lot of that stuff you can also get used instead of buying it new.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a rocking chair. So we got a rocking chair secondhand on Kijiji, which is great. So that was another great find. And I actually made little cushions for the chair with old jeans, like the fabric from old jeans.
Oh, nice.
So they're like a pattern. Yeah, so it's kind of fun. So you can kind of get clever coming up with eco solutions if you want to. I mean, depending how far you want to go with it, you can come up with fun solutions.
I mean, and you were upcycling something that was going to possibly be wasted anyway. So get creative, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, well, yeah. The jeans had holes, so I was like, that's not always useful. And now they're beautiful cushions that we can use on the chair, and it's handy that way. And it's, you know, gender neutral, it's fun, and kind of like kid-friendly when you think about it, with just the look of it, it's kind of fun.
Love it.
Yeah. And another fun thing is, I don't know if you thought about this, but like during pregnancy, like when you're growing a human being, your clothes doesn't necessarily fit you anymore. So thinking about maybe borrowing clothes from someone who's a bit bigger than you, or like a friend or a mom or someone who's had kids before and they have maternity clothes, that could be another option as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something that not just your baby changes shape really quickly, but you also change shape fairly quickly. So getting used clothes for that short-term period is a good idea too. And I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so I was lucky. My mom, she's just a little bit bigger than I am, and she lent me a bunch of her clothes for my pregnancy, but also even just the aftermath, because you don't go back to your skinny self right away, unfortunately.
Right.
So you need a bit more, you know, instead of buying a whole new wardrobe, you can borrow some pieces from friends and family, and yeah.
Also, you don't have to get maternity clothes, right? Like,
no.
they throw maternity in front of something, in front of clothing descriptions, and they're probably spiking the price up there. So you just need to buy clothes that will work with your current body shape, you know?
Yeah, so maybe just a size or two up,
yeah.
And usually that'll fit you for a while. And it's great because then after you have the baby, you don't really want to necessarily be in maternity clothes anymore. You know, you've done it. So if you wear like normal clothes, like non-maternity clothes, you just feel a bit better about yourself. Then you're not stuck in the stuff that you were 9 months pregnant with. Mm-hmm. So just that mental shift of like going back to clothes that like other normal humans who aren't pregnant are wearing is very
real
nice.
Clothes.
yeah, real clothes.
Well, yeah, that's part of it that I didn't even think about. Are you ready to do wine, cheese, and dessert?
Yeah. How about you go first?
Okay. So my wine is that I wanted to cook my pumpkin up after Halloween to make like pumpkin muffins and stuff. But then I found out that my husband doesn't like pumpkin. So then I was like, uh-oh, now what do I do with these pumpkins? And then I was chatting with Emma, who's on the podcast the last little while, and she said that her dog absolutely loved pumpkin for treats. So I cooked it, chopped it up, and dehydrated it for dog treats. But by the time I got there, I'd lost one of my pumpkins. It had already gone bad. So.
Oh, no. That's terrible. That's so sad, especially because you had all this planned.
Yeah, I was I'm going to have my pumpkins as decorations, and then they are going to be functional food items. But then,
you had the right intention.
Yeah. Next year, I will be better prepared because I will know better. But anyway, it was an experiment.
My cats also can eat pumpkins, so that's another. Not only can dogs eat pumpkin, but cats. Fun fact.
Well, I tried feeding it to my cats, and then they just ate around it in their food dish.
Oh, man.
So I don't think it's my cat's favorite.
Yeah. Well, you tried.
I tried.
You tried.
And then my cheese is kid-related. So families be like, why would you get a tattoo? They're expensive and painful to get and permanent. Also, families, you should have a baby.
Very true. That's a very good, very true point. Oh, man. And what's your eco win for the week?
So my dessert is that I found a bakery that will give me bread without a plastic bag again. Because at the beginning of the pandemic, they all stopped letting you have them without their own plastic bags. I couldn't find anywhere that would give me a bagless bread. But they're allowing it again. So I'm like, yay, I can get bread, but I don't have to make my own bread to get bagless bread. Woohoo!
That's great. I found it so hard to, a lot of businesses haven't made the change back yet. It's kind of frustrating.
It's slowly happening.
Slowly happening.
Yeah.
Wishing it was a bit faster than,
I know.
That it is, but yeah, we'll get there.
I can take my reusable mug back to a lot of the coffee shops now, so that makes me happy.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I haven't found that many here yet, but hopefully soon.
So what is your wine and cheese insert?
All right. So my wine, Cleo went to her first kid's birthday party.
Ooh.
Yeah. But my friend who was throwing the birthday party, she, you're just reminiscing about it. She had put all this effort into having, you know, like balloons and a bunch of like decorations and things like that. And it just really hit me to what extent, like, oh my gosh, kids around the world are having these birthday parties. And there's just like a lot of waste associated with that, which it just didn't occur to me until I showed up there. And I was like, oh, this is a new reality of being a parent, right? Like your
balloons are a new pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, well, not just balloons, but like, you know, the pile of gifts that are like brand new plastic toys, just like galore, and you know, the plates and the cutlery and all that stuff, that's a lot of it's disposable. And it just, you know, I just kept thinking of like, oh, you
apparently
can make
there's like
eco choices,
baby, like kid party businesses that rent all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if anyone
or
out
just
there
use
is,
your own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can kind of, but like if you want like a themed party, if you want, and you don't just want to use regular tablecloth, regular plates. If you want something a little bit more themed and festive, you can also rent things from party places, and then they get reused over and over again.
That's really cool. I didn't realize there'd be like specific designs or something on them, but that's a great idea. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was my wine. I just felt I was there, and I was like, oh my gosh, just all these things. But it was very overwhelming in the moment.
I bet.
I have to figure out a way to get past it, or I don't know, try and give ego tips in a non-judgmental way to people. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it moving forward.
But, slowly leak that information to them a little bit at a time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe a topic for a different show.
All right. What's your cheese?
My cheese. Okay. So what kind of diapers does Sidney Crosby use?
What?
Depends. Like, you know, depends. Because he's a player on the Pittsburgh Penguins team, so my partner's a fan, and it's a bit of a joke for him, but made me laugh when I found that one.
Very cute. Okay, and what's your win?
So this week, I managed to program my thermometer. So I don't know if you have a programmable thermometer, but that was a big one.
Not yet.
So a great way to lower your emissions in your house is to, you know, set your thermometer a bit lower than you might during the winter months, just to keep it from heating too much. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can get these cool thermometers that adjust like at night, like the temperature's lower than during the day when you're not home and things like that. So just playing around with it. So I adjusted all the programming for the thermometer, and it's great, and I feel super good. So that's my eco win for the week.
Plus new toy. That's always fun.
Well, it was just because we just moved, and so we didn't have one of these fancier thermometers before.
Oh.
So it was already in the house, so we didn't have to get a new one, but it's a great, fun thing to have around. And yeah, if you haven't done so, check your thermometer and see if you can adjust it. And
mine is one of the very
saving that way.
Old-fashioned ones with the little toggle on the bottom.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Living in the dark ages.
Does it actually have the temperature on it, or it's just like random numbers that you try to have to figure out what the temperature is?
Well, I mean, it's two dials, one that it's set at and one that it's current. But they're just analog dials that fluctuate with a piece of metal inside that when it gets warmer, it expands, and it's cooler, it shrinks. And it's very, right, very right. old school, which is kind of funny because this building is only like 8 years old.
You can still adjust it, I guess, which is good, because some places when you're, you know, you can't necessarily adjust your own dial. So
I do at least have individual control. Ours is set at 18 right now, I think, and I am currently under a quilt.
There you go.
Right. Well, thanks for joining me. I'm excited to be able to talk to you, and we'll have you back next week, right?
That sounds great.
Excellent.
Thanks so much.
Thank you all to our listeners and to our patrons on Patreon. We really appreciate your supporting waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta. Thank you to Change Toothpaste to pay for all the expenses of podcasting, because we are all volunteers here and podcasting is not free. If you guys want to get a hold of us here at Becoming Less, you can find us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at becominglesspod. Or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday. Of all of the episodes to have her cooing in the background, like, the parenting episode is kind of perfect.